Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Join me with my castmates, Veronica Esquivel-Winter, Dave Seidel, and Don Warner on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043. That's 323-693-3043, right here on Grindhard Radio. This show is all about spiritual, mental, and emotional health and well-being. We share stories from our lives and our personal journeys to divine health and wellness. We are not afraid to discuss difficult topics from a dynamic perspective and support you on your journey. No one is alone or forgotten. You are a child of light, and your destiny is great. Tune in to Season 2 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Monday nights from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time at 323-693-3043. 3043 right here on Grindhard Radio. Hello, everyone. That was Aaron Cole featuring Toby Mack with Right on Time. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 27 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to the phenomenal music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. You'll be hearing more of my work with them throughout this year and many years to come. This 16th episode, 90-minute long show will focus on spiritual, mental, emotional health, and well-being, and is the most transparent, vulnerable, and empowering project I have ever taken on. I will be sharing testimonies and stories from my life, what I believe, and why I believe this way, and I'll be sharing my personal journey to divine health and wellness. We'll be discussing topics like food, relationships, fitness, prayer, meditation, self-love, grace, faith, overcoming fear, anxiety, panic, depression, and so much more. We'll be speaking life into you and your dreams, encouraging your heart, and praying for your every need. I'll be featuring my mentors, favorite speakers, and authors throughout the season. Every episode will be available on iTunes. Search Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and you can download them for free. Also, my Sade Champagne YouTube channel is another place where you can listen to the show afterwards. I'm so glad to be here with you this evening, morning, or afternoon, depending on where you're tuning in from around the globe. All the episodes of my show are available at blogtalkradio.com/grindhard_radio. I've also posted the direct link to this episode on my Twitter and Facebook pages, so you can tune in at any time. If this is your first time listening, I am a professional treasure finder. I find the golden treasure that is already in every person, and I point it out. I do this however I feel led to in my heart, through my music, voice, creativity, resources, time, philanthropy, ideas, however I want to and feel led to. I'm a receiver and giver of grace. I am very thankful to be living and pursuing my dreams every single day while helping others to live and pursue theirs and being able to reach people all around the world. The title of tonight's Season 2, Episode 27 is Don't Be So Hard on Yourself, Perfectionism Episode. In a world that's constantly telling you what you need to fix and work on, we will talk about the power in realizing that you are enough. In your quest to care for others, it's important to care for yourself too. God is not hanging a progress report over your head demanding you get it together. God is cheering you on and enjoying life with you no matter where you are along in your journey. You are enough. We have a new story time segment, a new life after religion segment with special guest Megan Stewart. Dawn Warner brought a new family talk segment, and Veronica Esquivel Winters and I brought a new woman to woman segment. I'll be sharing more words of life. We'll be taking another celebration break. At the end of every episode, I'll be taking your prayer requests and praying for any additional needs I feel led to on my heart for you. Throughout every episode this season, I'm going to be giving away at least two copies of my castmates, Dave Seidel's new book, 18 Mile. He is one of my favorite authors and communicators, and I know this book about his life and journey to spiritual freedom will really encourage and empower you. I'll also be giving away a couple other surprise goodies throughout the show. Stay tuned in tonight and follow my Facebook and Twitter pages to see when and how you can win. I'll be giving away fun prizes and gifts all season long. I'm always booking new shows and performances. I have so many fun things coming up. I love traveling, and if you're looking to bring me, my Power Dream Tour, or any of our award-winning, critically acclaimed artists, mentors, or speakers to your city or event, please email me at sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com. That's sadechampagnemusic@gmail.com for more details. Check out my Facebook page, Sade Champagne, to see my full schedule. Just look under events. Lastly, thank you to everyone who's been watching, sharing, and subscribing to all my new videos. I'm constantly writing new pieces and creating new songs, and I'm going into the recording studio soon and again with The Quakes, whom you heard earlier on my theme song. To find out more about my musical journey and how you can be involved, check out GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. That's GoFundMe.com/Sade Champagne Music. I will be live tweeting and posting on Facebook all show long, and I want to know your thoughts. Tweet me at Sade Champagne, Facebook me at Sade Champagne, Instagram I am Sade Champagne, hashtag Spirit and Soul or GHR to join in the conversation. Shout out to everyone who you tweet me, you Facebook me, you Instagram me, you YouTube me, you email me, you contact me at my official website, IamSadeChampagne.com, and your support amazes me. I am forever grateful unto you. Our next segment of the night is story time. This is where I share stories from my life. People can argue Bible verses and theology with you all day long, but no one can take away what God has done for you. Today I want to talk to you about not being hard on yourself and why perfectionism is dangerous. We live in a world systems or many world and societal systems that teach you that you are not enough. From the time that we are born and all throughout our lives, everything is about getting better, being better, having more. You're not enough. And sometimes it's in very clear ways, and other times it's in subliminal ways. And we even see it within our technology. We're always feeling like we need the next and biggest things, you know, in order to stay up to date. We're always needing the most expensive clothes and what's the newest in food and everything. And we can never feel satisfied with what we have and where we are. And if anyone knows anything about who I am or what I stand for, I'm all about accelerating in your health and in your passions and in your desires and your dreams and in anything in life that you want and what you feel in your heart. But I believe that it has to happen from a place of wholeness and from a place of healing. I don't think it needs to happen because we feel less than, because we feel broken and we feel like we hate ourselves and so now we have to be someone else. But instead, I believe it can be from building on the fullness of who you already are, that it can be from the overflow of your heart. Because when you are so focused in on these world systems and societal pressures, we can oftentimes just get stuck in that, and you don't feel like you can ever rise above, even though, honestly, in God's eyes, we were already created to be risen above, to be in the highest possible place we could ever be. You know, as a young girl, I oftentimes saw myself in such a negative light. Like, I knew deep down that God had destined me for greatness. I had these amazing dreams and visions that God gave me as a young girl. And I really did believe in myself in some ways. But in other ways, I lacked confidence and I had a low self-esteem. And society didn't help that. You know, whether it was from my skin complexion or my skin color, my race, from my background of growing up with having a father in prison and being in a broken family to not having a lot of money and not living in the quote-unquote best neighborhoods, to my body shape and starting puberty so young, to the way that I speak and just so many things, you know, and being smart and loving to read. Those were all things that I got picked on as a young girl and for many years in my life. You know, and it really messed with my confidence. I began to see myself not in the way that God saw me. And because of things that I went through in my childhood, I started to be an overachiever and a perfectionist. And to a lot of people, they think it's great because they're like, look, you do so many great things. But I feel that perfectionism stifles our greatness. I believe that perfectionism keeps us in a place of fear, in a place of anxiety, and you can't actually rest and enjoy who you are. I believe that it's possible to be growing and accelerating and enjoy who you are in the process, because all we have is today. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow is not certain, but we do have today. We do have this moment. And I don't want to spend my day worrying and living in fear and anxiety and trying to just get to the next moment. I want to live today and each day that I live trusting and knowing that God is going to work it out for me, that God is for me, that I am God's beloved, that I am more than enough, that I am great, that I am amazing and beautiful, and everything in my life is going to build and grow from that place. God is not holding a progress report over your head. God is not holding a progress report over your head. I don't know what you've been taught about God. We've all been taught a lot of wacky things one way or another. There's very few people I know who have known the truth and grown in grace and in that truth and just continue to accelerate in that. Most of us have been dumped in some crazy mess along the way. And some of the biggest things a lot of us have been taught is that God is always judging us and expecting us to live perfect and be right. And whenever we get things wrong, you know, we have to be punished for it and have to deal with consequences. Obviously, yes, we live in a world and life where there's going to be consequences to our actions and to our choices. But I don't believe that it's God making us suffer. I don't believe that God is holding a progress report over our head and telling us all the things we need to fix and why aren't you doing this and why aren't you doing that, and just making us feel underneath and making us feel like we're always trying to climb up a ladder. But I don't want to live like that. I want to live my life from peace and rest and joy and hope, anticipation, excitement. You know, I want to live my life from a high quality place where it can't be based on what's happening in the world, whether I win or lose something, nothing. Like, I want it to be based from my inner being, from my spirit, from my heart, my soul, my mind. God sees you in perfection. God sees you as his beloved son or daughter. God adores you. God is cheering you on every step of the way. Wherever you are in your journey, that is enough for God. God is there with you wherever you are, and God is cheering you on and loving you into who you've always been destined to be, loving you into grace, loving you into the truth. And all you have to do is say, yes, yes, I receive it. We don't have to know everything and how the whole story ends, you know, or what it's supposed to look like according to human standards, but God can show us, and God can enlighten our understanding and help us to just have more confidence and raise our self-esteem so that we don't have to be living from a place of just slow, low destruction. I pray that you will be able to start living your life from love and not for love. There's a difference. Living your life from the perspective and understanding that you are already loved. Like, think about it. Imagine even now what it would be like to wake up each day and know that you are already loved, your destiny is sealed, your future is sealed, you're cared for, you can never be separated from God, you are treasured, you can never be alone or lonely, and no matter what you face, that God's opinion of you remains the same and your destiny remains the same. How would you live? How would you dream then? How would you move about your day? How would you speak? I guarantee you it would be different. I guarantee you it would be way more hopeful and from so much more of a rested and full place instead of being drained. And I pray that for every single person, even myself, that that is how we will be able to live our days, no matter what they look like. And I know that it would be the most amazing, spectacular, and magnificent experience. Father God, I thank you so much for all the beautiful people who are listening in today and in the weeks and months and years to come. I thank you that you're helping everyone to live from overflow, that you're reminding us that we are not to try to be perfect, but that you have created us in wholeness, and your view and perspective of perfect is way different than the world's perspective of perfect. I thank you that you're reminding every single person that we are already good enough, that we are already yours. Thank you for opening our hearts, minds, ears, and our lives to receive your truth. Thank you for bringing healing to every person who's been feeling anxious, fearful, full of low self-esteem, uncertain about their life, feeling so much pressure and so much stress. Thank you that you're just washing over them with your grace, with your kindness, with your friendship. And thank you that you're bringing people into their lives. You can continue to reveal the truth to them, and that we are ready to receive it, and we're ready to walk in it and see it manifested in our very beings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's get right into our first segment. This is a brand new one we've been premiering this season titled Life After Religion, where I interview visionaries who share about their journeys to spiritual freedom. Tonight we have one of my good friends, Megan Stewart. I happened to meet her last year through another one of our great mutual friends, and we instantly connected, and I look forward to getting to know her more. Hi, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. What a joy to feature you for our Life After Religion segment on Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio.
Yes, thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So, Megan, tell us about your relationship with God and when and how it became real to you. And, you know, with the fact that we have so many people who listen in from all around the world and all different backgrounds and beliefs, try to speak in as open terms as possible, or feel free to define or expound upon something you say.
Okay. So my relationship with Jesus, from the time I was little, I always wanted to know God. I'm a preacher's kid, so, you know, it was something that I heard a lot about. I heard a lot about God. And whenever I was 5 or 6, I asked Jesus into my heart. So I just, prayed a prayer, just wanting to know God. My dad led me in what's called, you know, the sinner's prayer. And, you know, for me, it changed a lot of things. Even at a young age, I knew God was calling me into a relationship with him. And, you know, for me, I just wanted to say yes. I didn't know everything that meant as a child. You don't really know, you know, what all this means. But for me, I just was like, God's calling me. He's calling me, and I want to say yes. So, you know, for me, that changed. I just felt like a different person. Even at the time of, you know, even little kids, you know, children, they have full perceptions in spiritual things. And for me, I just knew it was a beginning of a relationship. And so you know, as I got older and I really, if I'm going to do something, I usually go in 100%. I don't go 50. I don't go, you know, 40. It's just kind of me. If I'm interested in something, I just kind of put everything into it. And it's kind of a good thing, but it's kind of a detriment in some ways, because for me, I kind of wanted to do this Christian thing. And you know what? I just tried to work it. So I would try to please God. And I was, you know, I would listen to things, you know, that wouldn't necessarily show me my perfect standing with Christ. It would be more of, you know, holy living or this kind of thing. So for me, I tried, and I never felt, you know, I never felt like I made it. No matter how holy I lived, no matter how many good things I did, no matter, you know, if I was, you know, helping people out or, you know, trying to be loving or whatever, it was always, I never felt like I measured up. It was always this of the standards here and I'm down here, and it was just guilt. So I lived with guilt from the time I was young, teenagers. And it was something that, you know, I would try to seek God, and I would say, you know what, God, I want to know you and I want to seek you. And I would, you know, sit down with my Bible. But when I would read the scriptures, it was like it would condemn me. Everything that I read, it would see how lacking I was and how I would need to try more. And so I would try to pray, and I would sometimes feel his presence. I would feel close to him. But then it would just be like I would mess it up. It was just like everything would, you know, I would just like blow it. Or, you know, for me, blowing it meant I wasn't perfect. You know, for other people, they would be like, for me, as this strict living that I, you know, it was just even, oh, I wasn't as nice to that person as I should have been, or, you know, I should have done this, or should, whereas I always, because that's what I thought I needed to do, is to judge myself. I needed to, you know, make sure that I was doing everything I needed to do. So I, you know, I lived that way. But, you know, if you feel like the Holy Spirit, and that's what I thought is the Holy Spirit, if you feel like he's going to be constantly telling you your faults, day in and day night, and just like day in and day out, always, you know, you did this or you did this, or, you know, for me, it was like I wouldn't have said this out loud, but I was scared of the Holy Spirit. I had a fear that he, you know, he, if someone's always looking at your fault, I wouldn't have said this out loud, I'm scared of the Holy Spirit. But for me, thinking, you know, the Holy Spirit, that was his job, was to convict me of sin, that, you know, I didn't actively pursue knowing the Trinity as the whole Trinity. I wasn't necessarily afraid of the Father, and I knew Jesus died for me, but this Holy Spirit, I was afraid of him. I was afraid of his presence, because it seemed to me like it was a presence that was always telling me, you failed, you did this, you did that. And that's what I read, and that's what I thought Scripture was saying. So for me, I wouldn't have said that out loud, because, you know, that would have been like blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But that's really, I lived in fear of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that's not a good thing, because the Holy Spirit is the comforter. He's not there to, you know, what I thought he was doing. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. So I lived this, and so I would get close to God, and then there would be, you know, I just didn't feel close to him. It would just be, I would mess it up. So in my early 20s, it hurt too much to seek God, because I would feel close, I would, you know, hear him, and then it was just like I couldn't maintain it. And so I just kind of just didn't really pursue actively hearing God, because it was just like something that was so painful, because I couldn't maintain it. And so I just kind of, long story of events, I heard this teaching, and it was called the Positive Ministry of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like God had been preparing me for many years, you know, up to this point, to hear this teaching that was going to set me free. The night I heard it, it was like I went from darkness to light. It was talking about how the Holy Spirit is the comforter, and the sin consciousness that we feel is actually our own conscience, that it's not the Holy Spirit, and that it was not wrong for me, so it would actually be good for me to say no to sin consciousness, and that wouldn't be saying no to the Holy Spirit, because I could never say no to guilt. I could never say no to judging myself, because I thought I would be saying no to the Holy Spirit. So whenever I heard this teaching, and I realized there was a difference between my conscience, and I realized there was a difference between the Holy Spirit, and that the Holy Spirit, it was the misunderstanding I had was in John 14, where he's praying the Holy Spirit to come, and he's telling us what the Holy Spirit's going to do. And he said he's going to convince convict the world of sins because of their unbelief. And actually what my unbelief was, which he was convicting me of, was you're not believing that I Christ. You're not believing that I actually paid for everything you ever have done in your past, you're ever going to do, anything you've ever felt like you failed or came short. He's like, I paid for it all. And that was my unbelief, as I thought that I had to measure up. And so there the Holy Spirit, all throughout my, you know, growing up, you know, he's telling me, I've paid for it. Don't believe me. You know, you don't. So he's telling me all of this, but I didn't hear, I didn't know what his voice was. So I was saying yes to this condemnation. I was saying yes to guilt. And when I saw that, I realized it was like going from darkness to light. You know, in creation, in the creation story, it says that it was God who separated the light from the darkness. And in our own lives, I feel like it has to be the Holy Spirit's voice who separates the dark from the light, because we can't do it in our own faculty. We can't understand what is darkness and what is light, because it's all mixed and we don't understand. But then when he comes and he sheds his light by the word, it was just like, oh my gosh, I've misunderstood the whole Bible, my whole growing up, my whole, you know, it's just, I didn't understand it. And when that lightness, it was just like this peace came, and I knew that God had me on a journey that I was never going to get off of, that it was going to be an exciting journey of realizing all the different things that the Holy Spirit was trying to tell me, and everything that I had misunderstood, realized that he wanted to correct those, and that it was going to be a beautiful thing, that it was going to give me light, it was going to give me peace, because it says, the kingdom of heaven, it brings righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Ghost. And as he brought forth the believing of me, believing that how righteous I was, that just that peace and that joy just sprang up into me. It was just like effortless. It just came. And it didn't happen all at once, because whenever you're kind of steeped in one certain way of thinking, sometimes it takes a long time of just getting into his presence and letting him tell you what scriptures mean, or, you know, different ways of, you know, listening to people who minister to you, or, you know, different things. Just letting it just get into you. And then, you know, eventually just saying, you know, I want to understand this for myself. Holy Spirit, what does this mean? So for me, I think it's a journey of, I would say my journey was learning that the Holy Spirit was my friend, that he wasn't my condemner. And then cultivating a relationship with the Holy Spirit, because I felt like I cultivated a relationship with the Father and the Son, and they're all one. It's, if you know one, you know all of them. But for me, it was really understanding to hear his voice. It is the Holy Spirit's presence is what we have here on this earth, and he brings the Godhead. It's like the whole Trinity, but it's the Holy Spirit's work. And for me to realize the Holy Spirit's work in my life and say, yes, I'm not afraid of this anymore. Yes, come have your way in me. It was something very beautiful. And I knew just reading different biographies, my parents would have us read a lot of different biographies. And reading, I would read this experience that people had with the Holy Spirit. And I just was like, I've never had this. I've believed in Jesus, but I feel like I know I have the Holy Spirit, but I said, I want this other experience. Father, whatever you have for me, I just want it. And I felt like he said, you know what? It's going to happen. Just wait. And you know what? Just experience, you know, experience what I want for you, but it's going to be, you know, in my time. Not that he was holding it back from me, but I think my own thinking was preventing me from experiencing the Holy Spirit. So there came a time where I'd heard the truth. I heard the truth, but I think sometimes we hear the truth, but we don't apply it to our situation, to our things we're going through right at the moment. So I was driving a car. I was in my early 20s, and I was really, really upset, because in my life, it was just like everything that I wanted to happen wasn't happening. And, you know, it was just like I saw my dream of, you know, becoming a musician, or, you know, maybe getting a scholarship, or different things that I wanted to happen. It just wasn't happening. And I just felt like everything I wanted, you know, in life, I from the time I was a little kid, I wanted to be involved in music. I wanted to be a musician. It was just like it wasn't happening, and it was slipping away. And no matter how hard I tried, I couldn't seem to keep it. And so I was just so angry with life, so angry with everything. And so I drove down the road, and I was, as I was driving, it was in my old way of, you know, religion, what I would call it, is that I needed to get this anger out of my heart before I could experience his love, before I could have a relationship with God again. So I kept trying to get the anger out, and I just couldn't. I realized I just couldn't do it. Coming to the end of ourselves is like the best thing we could ever do. So I was driving the car, and I heard God say, "Are you going to believe that my love is unconditional for you? It's not based on whether you can get this anger out. It's not," he said, it's not, doesn't have anything to do with that. I love you just perfectly right now. We can have a relationship, and it doesn't have anything to do with your performance." And I was driving down the road, and I knew this was God speaking to me. And I wasn't really very good at hearing his voice, but I just felt like it was God. And it was inside, it was my thoughts. But I knew, one thing I knew I wanted to go with it, but I was a little afraid because I thought, you know what, if I go with this, what's going to make me live holy? Because that my whole life I've tried to live holy, and always the fear of not having a relationship, I felt like that was the motivating factor that would make me live holy. And I just realized if that was gone, I was afraid that, you know what, I wouldn't live holy anymore. And so I was afraid, I didn't understand that his power is way more powerful, you know what, to live his life than I could ever do in my own power. But I didn't know that. But I just knew enough to know that I could trust him, what he was telling me. And so I just said out loud, I said, "God, I believe what you're telling me." And so it was just immediate. It was just like this presence from the inside. It was just like it bubbled up and it just flowed every part of me. And it was just an amazing experience that can bring me to tears right now today, because it's something I experienced, you know, we can have that experience every day. It doesn't just happen once. It can happen over and over and over again.
Right.
And so it was just like all of a sudden this presence of joy. It was just this amazing experience. A different language came to my mouth, and it was just like, this is awesome. And I couldn't even think about being angry anymore. It was just like it was gone. Because there I was afraid of not living holy if I let go of my own willpower. And there, you know what, his presence came in, and I couldn't be angry if I tried. So from that moment on, it was something changed in me. And it's not like, you know what, I walked on cloud nine from then on. Life isn't like that. It was something that, you know, I had this hunger in my heart to hear more of the teaching that had set me free and to really pursue it, because I realized what it had done for me. And so I just said, you know what, God, I want to know this. And so I said in my heart, no matter who would go with me, whatever was against me, whatever, whoever, you know, thought I was going on a wrong path, or, you know what, all the different things that might come against me, and it did, I was going to seek the truth. And I knew I could know his truth, because it says when we know the truth, we, in our hearts, it's like this knowing we have it. John, it says, you know all things, and you need not that a man should teach you, but the same anointing teaches you of all things. And I know whenever you hear the truth, it resonates with something in you that you already know, and you know you're not being led astray. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to follow that. With everything I have, I'm going to follow that. Mm-hmm. And so for, you know, that was 11 years ago. That was in 2006. So yeah, 11 years ago, in October 2006 is when I first saw that light. And then it's been a journey ever since then. And it's, like I said, it doesn't happen overnight. It's not like that experience just suddenly changed me. But it was a walking with him that was started walking in this way of truth. And it's something that it just gets better. That light grows stronger and stronger every day. So sometimes on my walk with him, he would lead me to listen to different people. So that first teacher I heard, I would listen to him a bunch. And then, you know, a different teacher, and then a different teacher. And then, you know, I came to the place where, you know, I wanted to hear this truth for me. I wanted to experience all throughout listening to different people. I would get truths that I hadn't heard anybody else say. And those are the truths that the Holy Spirit sometimes would set me free more than anything, because it was lies that I had believed or misunderstandings that I had, or just a way, the Holy Spirit had a way of telling me in ways that I could understand. And so I realized, you know what, I want to pursue this more. Not that I'm not going to listen to other people, but I want to pursue hearing him, because he knows that I have more than anyone else, and he knows how to make me understand. And so I would just pray, and I would experience so much deliverance, so much healing, so much intimacy with him, just going and saying, God, I want to spend this time getting to know you. And sometimes I would listen to music. Well, most of the times I would listen to music, and I would sometimes pray in tongues, or I would just sit quietly, and I would just listen to the Holy Spirit and say, Father, what are you telling me? I knew he was always speaking, but I didn't always know. It says, my sheep hear my voice. But I didn't always know how to discern what was his voice. And sometimes it would take me a good hour, you know, 30 minutes to an hour, to start realizing, oh, those thoughts I've had having, those are his voice. Those are his thoughts. And then just pretty soon, I would just, like, go into my prayer time, and it was just like, oh, my goodness, I'm hearing him. It was just, like, immediately just stepping into his presence. So I would just have to wait my day. You know, I would go through the day, and it would have answers, or I need wisdom, and I would be like, oh, man, I need a prayer time. And the Holy Spirit said, I want you to start having a prayer time. Like, it's like your prayer time all day. It's like where you don't have to wait to have this, you know, relaxed time where you can hear me. Those are times are really good, but he said, I want you to start believing that you can hear me throughout the day. Give you wisdom throughout the day. If you have a dilemma that comes at you and you don't know the answer, or you know a situation, or you know, he said, I want to give you wisdom right in the moment. And so then that was my next step, is like, I want to hear him every minute. And you know what? I'm still in that process of listening and hearing the Holy Spirit. But it was so amazing that, you know what? He can speak to me throughout the day. You know, but I don't think that it could have started that way. It kind of had to start where me getting still and getting quiet, because I didn't know how to discern his voice at first. But then once I get started getting to discern it, then I can, you know what, even in the midst of a busy day sometimes, you know, I'm a music teacher, and sometimes even as I'm teaching, you know what, God's giving me answers about something that I had asked him last week, or, you know, today, that something that I need to do. And as I'm teaching, effortlessly, I'm realizing I'm hearing the Holy Spirit, and it's not detracting from my job. It's actually making me better. He helps me do my job better. He helps me teach, because I didn't feel like that I could teach. And I was like, God, I don't know that I can teach music. You're going to have to help me. And so in my job, he just shows me ways of helping people, learning how to play music and learning how to play an instrument. He shows me wisdom of how to show them how to do it where they can actually succeed. And they start realizing, oh, my goodness, I can do this. And so it's exciting to see him, you know, help me in every single aspect of my life, not just one, you know, what he loves to be permeated in everything I do. It's so exciting. Going back to one thing with the music, that's something that I kind of worked at, you know, what I would call, I think God put the desire in me from the time I was young. My mom was a voice major. She had us singing from the time we were little, and she just instilled a love of music in me, which I so appreciate. So sometimes there were times we really shouldn't have been able to afford music lessons, but they did, because my mom really felt like that was something that she wanted us to have, and I'm really grateful for that. So, you know, as I got older, and I just worked and worked and worked, and it was something that I loved. But as I got into my early 20s, I just was feeling like, you know what, I'm not where I want to be. I'm playing in an orchestra, but I'm not to the place where I feel like technique-wise that I'm as, you know what, everyone else is doing so much better than me. I'm just like the worst one in the orchestra, and this, you know, and I'm like, you know, I'm 22. Most kids have already had their degree by now, and I'm just not even started with that. And so I just felt like this music thing was never going to happen for me. So it was something that I was working, you know, sometimes several hours a day practicing. And it was something that was actually wearing me out. I think sometimes when you have something that you love, sometimes your identity can get wrapped up in that. And I think my identity was wrapped up in what I could do, or whether I succeeded at this or not. And it's not something that I tried to make happen. It's just something that happened to me. And so as I'm listening, I didn't try to change it. I didn't try it. But as I was listening to Holy Spirit and just experiencing his peace and his love and his joy, and just like getting into his word and seeing my own freedom, I realized it's like this drive for music, this drive to succeed it started, slowly just started subsiding. It was just, I stopped having the desire to play in the orchestra, and that freaked me out because that's what I'd worked for my whole life. And I was finally in this orchestra, and I loved it, and I was working, and I was like, God, you're going to ask me to give this up. And at first, it kind of hurt that he was asking me to do that. And so I was like, God, I know you're never going to ask me to do something that's going to hurt me or that I don't want to do. So I said, I'm just going to keep playing. And I did. So I kept, I was like, I know you're not going to ask me to do something that I love or stop at. So I just played for the next season, and I played. And then by the time that the 4th of July concert came, I realized I played in it and I didn't want to do it anymore. I just had lost the desire to do it. I just was like, I don't even want to do it. And so it was amazing for me that I didn't sit there and try to pull the thing out of my heart. It was just, as I got into his presence, it just went. I just didn't want it anymore. So I let that go. And then my teacher, I didn't realize I was taking from a professor at that time. And he just said, you know what, I can't give you lessons anymore. It was just like, I was shocked because I decided I was going to continue. So I just, all of a sudden, this music was just like dead end. It was just done. And I just realized, I was happy about the orchestra. I was like, I know you're telling me this. And I would continue. I thought I was going to continue with lessons. Well, my teacher quit on me, and I cried for 2 days. And then actually I realized it was the best thing. I realized I hadn't wanted to do the practicing. It was just laborious practicing. It was just, I didn't want to do it anymore. And I realized it was something that was just, it was a work that I was doing, and I let it all go. And oh my gosh, I can't even tell you the lightness, the weight that was off of me. I was excited. I was like, you know what? It was the gospel that changed me. And now I want to go share the gospel. I was so excited. I thought music was done in my life forever. And I was so excited my identity was not wrapped up in whether I was a musician or not. I was not even there. And I was excited that, you know what, I'm whole in Christ. It's not what I do or in this life what I can succeed at. And I was excited that he had brought me to that place. And so for me, I thought it was over. So I was late at night listening to this music, and it was music that was stirring my soul. And it was spiritual music. It was bringing me into his presence. So I was listening to the music, and I was, you know, just praying and fellowshipping with him. And I heard him say, if you could do music like this, would you still do music? And I was like, yes, but I don't know how to do this kind of music. I had to have sheet music in front of me, never, you know, branched out and just, like, played from my heart. Didn't know how to do that. It was just like, I really thought that I couldn't do it. And so I was like, you know what, yes, but I don't know how to do that. It was like just like immediately like saying, God, I don't know how to do that kind of music. And he said, ask me. I said, I don't even have a teacher anymore. And he said, ask me to be your teacher. And so I said, okay, would you be my teacher? And so for the next few years, I went into my bedroom and I would just sit at the piano, and I wanted to learn to play by ear. I wanted to, that's something that I never thought that I could do. I was always restricted. I thought in my heart of hearts, see, it's like God, I thought God was asking me to give up something that I loved, but really in my heart of hearts, I would have rather do what I'm doing now is playing by ear, composing my own music. But I never thought that was a possibility because I thought that I couldn't do it. But whenever the Holy Spirit asks you to give up something, it's because he knows in his heart that you really want something else, but you don't think you're capable of it. And so for me, that's what it was, is I didn't think that I could just sit down to the piano one day and just play music from my own heart. And that's it good. Didn't happen all at once. Yeah, it didn't happen all at once. It was laborious. And you know what? Sometimes we're afraid, as we get into grace, sometimes, you know, we get confused in our mind of, you know, I don't want to be working or what. You know what? There's nothing wrong with work. But it's when it's led by the Holy Spirit, it doesn't feel like work. It's really work. I mean, I would sit there and sometimes I would play for hours and I would hound the same chords out, or just like I would decide to play a song and I would just try to play it by memory or just like by the sound. And I would play over and over. And it was looking back, I'm like, man, that was a lot of hard work. But for me, it was just like joy. Every bit of it, it wasn't like, oh, I have to go practice. It was just like, yes, I get to go play the piano. And so, you know, for me, I put the violin down and the viola down for a while, and I just went to the piano. And really, I became a better musician on all of my instruments, just learning to have to letting the Holy Spirit, who is the author of music,
He's the one who composed. He's the original musician. He is, you know, he created everything about the beat of music. And for him to be inside of me and to working it out, it was something that was different. I noticed a difference in my music. So suddenly I started realizing after a couple of years, these melodies came coming out, and I knew it was him and me composing something together. It wasn't me and it wasn't him, it was us together. And it was melodies coming out that I never would have thought that I could have done. And so it was exciting that I would rather, he gave me something that I would so much rather have. And I had been so afraid to let go of this thing when he was actually wanting to give me something that was so much better that I would so much rather have. And so, you know what, I wasn't, you know, I never did get the degree. You know what he said? You know, he totally changed my heart. I didn't want it anymore. But you know what? It didn't set me back. If I, you know, when I moved to North Carolina, I started working. I never thought that I could work in a school, but I started working in two different private schools. And you know what? They said they didn't, you know, it didn't matter to them that I didn't have the degree because they saw that I could teach. And that was what mattered to them. And so for me, I limited myself because I thought, you know, I'm never going to teach in a school. And there, the Holy Spirit just opened up opportunities. And you know what? So whenever you hear the Holy Spirit, it's we never have to be afraid of going and doing what he asks us to do because we realize, I realized as I watched this, you know, he always has the best plan in his mind, whether it makes sense to me or not. It actually always works better that way. And so for me, music isn't something that is something that I have to work hard at anymore. I even realized sometimes as I was composing, I would sit there and I would be trying to finish a song. And it was just, I don't know, it wasn't working as well. Or, you know, I would think that it was good and I would finish it. But then when I would realize that all my years of hard work, that does help in learning an instrument. But I realized in this different kind of music ability that he was wanting me to have, it came from a relationship with him. So whenever I would have a day that, you know, I hadn't spent as much time with him, or, you know, I wasn't in that flow, you know, I wasn't hearing his voice as well, I would sit down to the piano, no matter how many times how long I would work at it, it wouldn't flow. But then if I had a day where I was experiencing his presence, I was just basking in his presence, I would sit down to the piano and I would do all kinds of things that I couldn't do before, no matter. So I realized, you know what, in this relationship of, you know, his music flowing out of me, it flows from a relationship. It doesn't flow from work. And so for me, I had to kind of let go of the practicing mindset and realize accepting his presence mindset. And then when I'm in his presence, you know what, things happen. And it is work, but it's just effortless work. And so it's been an exciting journey that I feel like he's still teaching me. It's something that it hasn't stopped. I'm still learning, and it's exciting every year that goes by. The things that he shows me about music, or, you know, the different songs that come out. And I believe he's getting me to the place where eventually I'll just sit down and play a song right on the spot for people. It won't be that I have an idea of what I will play. It's just, and when he told me that way years ago, I was like, no way, you're not telling me I can actually do that. And now as I'm, you know what, that's what I'm pursuing, I'm seeing that, yes, this can happen. I don't do it in front of people, but I do. I sit down at the piano and I just let songs come forth. And it's something that I wouldn't have ever thought that I could do. And it's something
perfecting. Yeah, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but when I saw the video posted on your Facebook, it really blew my mind. It just was so beautiful. I was like, girl. You know, I messaged you about it because I just was so blown away. And you know, and even as you're speaking, you've been speaking so many wonderful nuggets of truth, you know what I mean? Like so many amazing things that are quote-worthy. And, you know, and as this airs, I'm definitely going to be writing them down and quoting you, be like, yes. And there's just so many amazing things that you shared. And Megan, as we're wrapping up our time together, what words of encouragement and wisdom do you want to share with someone who has been living in that fear and guilt that you were talking about, you know what I mean? Because there's so many people, like, their stories are similar to yours, like growing up in religion, especially being down south and in the Bible Belt, you know, and struggling with that fear and that guilt and that depression and that anxiety. And so what are words of encouragement that you'd want to share with them? And then on the flip side, for people who are not, who maybe didn't grow up in church and didn't grow up in traditional religion, and they're still experiencing fear and guilt and depression as well. What are some words of encouragement and wisdom that you'd want to share with them as we're wrapping up our time together?
Okay, well, okay, awesome. I would say it's kind of the same whether you grew up in, you know what, hearing about God or hearing about the things of the Bible or, you know, religion, or whether you grew up without hearing anything. I think it's this, you know what, God is the same. He wants to bring us. Now, it might be all different ways of how he does it, but I know one thing, that God the Father is pursuing each and every heart. And we don't have to be afraid that we won't be found. We don't have to be afraid that he won't know how to speak to us. He does. He knows how to speak to me. That makes it come alive to me. And I think for every person, whether they have heard about God before or they haven't, he knows how to speak to them where they can understand it, where they can come, where they can come past the feelings of guilt or the feelings of unworthiness, because he has made every person worthy. And I think, you know, for each person, he has a way. And I, you know what, it's different for every person. For me, it was hearing teachers that would bring an enlightened word to me. And then it was, you know, maybe listening to a song that spoke to me, or maybe it was getting alone time with God. Or, you know, it's so many different things. I think in our heart of hearts, I think we know the truth, and sometimes we hear something and we just like, yes, that's the truth. That's giving me life. And I would say just go with it. It says whenever we seek him, we will always find him. It says knock and it shall be open to you. Seek and you will find. And so if we have a true heart to know God, I think it will always, whatever roadblocks we have, whatever misunderstandings we have, if we seek him, he will make himself known to us. He's there. He's waiting. He's like, he's knocking on the door and he's like, just wait, just open, let me in. But sometimes I think we get busy with different things in life. You know, this life, I mean, there's so many different awesome things we can do. Life is good. And so we sometimes, I think, you know, forget to seek the one who made it all. He created all things for us to enjoy. So and the things in this life are really good for us to enjoy. But I think deep down, if we know him, and all of us deep down want to know him, we each want to know our creator. And whenever we reach out and we seek, we say, I want to know you, it's like the best thing that we could ever. He's the most loving. He's like the biggest fan. He will always be the encourager. No matter if there's everyone else, you know what, there's no one else encouraging you, God, he will always be the one that's encouraging, saying, I'm for you. I'm always for you. Mm-hmm. And I think he's saying that to each person right now. And you know what? He wants them to hear that he's saying he's for each, every person. He's for all of us.
Wow, that's so powerful. And Megan, I'm just so thankful to who you are. And you, girl, are definitely a dynamic speaker. And I see it and I feel it already as it's coming from you. And the time is coming where you're going to be sharing that more and more. And like I said, you just dropped so many grace nuggets and so much truth. And I'm thankful for our brimming friendship. I'm so thankful to Vaughn for introducing us. And I look forward to getting to know you more. Megan, how can people stay updated with your music and your happenings, and just to be able, if they have any questions they want to ask you about music or with your spirituality and faith and what God's done in your life, what would be the best way for them to reach you?
I would say right now, probably Facebook. Right now, I don't have any, you know, expensive way of recording, you know, expensive software, you know, where I can record my music in a, you know, better way. But, you know, that's going to happen. What the Holy Spirit told me now is, you know what, you have a phone now. You have a tripod, you can sit it up and you can record it. And for me, like, the phone recordings, the quality is pretty good, surprisingly. Actually, I've been really surprised how good it is. And so, you know what, for right now, that's what I'm going to be doing is, as you know what, I feel led, just like sitting down with the music he has, just record it. And I always put it globally so that people, if they're interested in hearing it, they can share it, they can listen to it, they can whatever they want. So that's, I always put the music globally, and then I also put it to a YouTube channel so that they, you know, any way they want to. And then I'm always open to messages on Facebook or however they want to connect with me. I love connecting with people. I'm a very people person. I love talking to the people. talking to, getting to know people, and then my favorite thing to talk about is my best friend, Jesus. So yeah, I would be welcoming people, you know, to reach out. It would be fun.
Awesome. Yeah, you're so friendly and you're so fun and easygoing, and I definitely really enjoy your company. And so I want to thank you so much to my beautiful friend. Thank you, sweetie. I want to thank you so much to my beautiful and wonderful friend, Megan Stewart. Thank you so much for being on episode 27 of the Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne show as we talked about life after religion for this segment. And I'm thankful to you, and just keep shining your light, girlfriend. You're such an encouragement and such an inspiration, and I'm excited to see everything else that continues to manifest through you.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate your encouraging words, and that you're doing this show that helps so many people. It's awesome.
I want to end these segments with Alessia Cara's Scars to Your Beautiful. Keep listening to episode 27 of Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio.
She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining. Deep within the eyes can find it. Maybe we are made of blind souls. She tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. As cover girls don't cry after the face is made. But there's a hope that's waiting for you.
The light that shines within.
There's a hope that's waiting for you.
You're listening to Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne on Grindhard Radio. If you've been following my social media at all, then you're already familiar with this segment. It started as a video series, and now I'm incorporating it into this radio show, Woman to Woman. This was created to help encourage, empower, and inspire myself and other women and young girls. I wanted my best friend, Veronica Esquivel Winters, who is a certified holistic life coach, clinical aromatherapist, entrepreneur, and inspirational speaker, to lead this segment with me. Tonight on Woman to Woman, we're sharing about how you are not a project. You are so precious, valuable, valued, and loved. To watch this video series, go to my official YouTube channel, Sade Champagne, and search Woman to Woman Diaries. Today on Woman to Woman, Veronica and I are going to be talking about this topic. You are not a project. You are not a project. You are not a broken item that needs to be fixed and altered. God did not create us broken. God made us whole, and He is happy with what He made. You know, we live in a world that is always telling us from the moment we are born that we lack. You're not enough this. You don't have enough this. You need to do more of this. You need to do more of that, until it begins to drain us and we begin to see ourselves from that place of lack. We find ourselves always trying to fix something, always trying to do, to get, to become. And we find it hard to relax. You know, especially as women, we struggle with that. We're always, I need to fix this about myself. I need to do this. I need to do that. This will make me more desirable. This will make me more attractive. And it begins to eat away at our soul, and it begins to eat away at who we are. I believe that God did not create us this way. He didn't look at us and say, or He doesn't look at us and say, okay, Sade, I need to fix this about you. This is jacked up. This is janked up. I don't like this. But He looks at us with love, with kindness, with grace, with joy. You don't have to allow the circumstances in this world. You don't have to allow the things that you've been through. You don't have to allow social media and reality TV to tell you who you are. There was a time when, as kids, hopefully, you know, most of us as kids, we believed in ourselves. We saw ourselves through eyes of splendor and through eyes of wonder. And I want to encourage you to allow yourself to see who you really are. Who am I? Who are you? We are who God says that we are. We are His beloved. We are so accepted by Him. God looks at us and He sees us as perfect. He sees us as His precious queens, as His daughters, as His best friends. You know, there's so much more to us. There's so much more to us than just what is on the surface. I want to encourage you this week. We want to encourage you to begin to see the gold in who you are, to begin to see all the amazing things that God has created you for and how He sees you. He doesn't see you broken. He doesn't see you like a car, but knowing that He sees you as gifted. He sees you as so splendid and amazing. You're not a mistake. You're not a mistake. And we are all about transformation. We're all about growth. We're all about, you know, accelerating in our life and our dreams and our health and things that matter to us. But it has to come from a deeper place. If it's coming from a place of trying to prove yourself, if it's coming from a place of I'm not good enough, if it's coming from a place of jealousy, from a place of trying to be like someone else, trying to compare your life to someone else's, it's only going to result in death. There's no life there. There's no life from there. You are able to, though, transform and grow and accelerate from a place of wholeness. I want you to think about this. Do you know what it feels like to wake up in the morning and look at yourself when you're in front of the mirror and not see any flaws? Do you know what it feels like to work out without trying to say, this is my trouble area, I need to burn these calories off, I need to fix this part of my body, but simply to enjoy the workout?
Do you know what it's like to be able to go to work each day or to have a dream and be moving forward from the passions in your heart and not because you want to make all this money to do this or to prove that or to eat and actually just enjoy what you're eating? I want to encourage you that it is possible to live this way. It is possible. It's what God created us for. He wants to satisfy you, love you, and encourage you in such a way where you realize that you lack no good thing and that you are just like Him, made whole, perfect, and complete. And in this satisfaction, in this gladness, God asks you, what do you want? What can I do for you? And I'm here to tell you there is nothing like it. I have lived a good portion of my life, majority of my life up until now, up until recently, always trying to fix something, always trying to prove a point, looking at myself like a project, looking at myself as a machine that needs to be fixed. But no longer, no longer. I desire now that all of my transformation will be from God's effort, from His faith in me, that it will be effortless transformation and more like a metamorphosis. So once again, you are not a broken item that needs to be fixed and altered. God did not create us broken. God made us whole, and He is happy with what He made. Next, be patient with yourself. God is not hanging a progress report over your head. Everyone's journey is on a different timeline. Where you are is okay. Who you are is okay. Your journey is uniquely your own. We oftentimes think to ourselves, I should have been here by now. Why am I not here by now? But where you are today is fine. It's okay. God understands your journey. He understands you. He's so patient with us. And it's so we can be patient with ourselves and be patient with others. And you don't have to be so hard on yourself. You can be gentle with who you are, because it's just healing doesn't happen always in an instant moment the way we desire it to be, or transformation. Oftentimes it doesn't take us, you know, it doesn't happen overnight where we end up, you know, believing lies, where we end up not living to our fullest potential or living in truth. It's something that happened over time, day by day. And it's the same way with transformation. It's the same way with seeing our dreams come to pass, with living in wholeness and wellness. It takes time. And you are worth that time. And instead of judging yourself by how long something is taking, you can celebrate the moment that you have in today. You can celebrate this moment, being patient with yourself. God is not hanging a progress report over your head. He doesn't even care how long it takes you to get somewhere. All that matters is that you get there, and He will get you there. He's the one that will carry you and walk with you and be there for you, comfort you, in you, above you, beneath you, with you at all times. So it's His responsibility to get you to where you need to be, and it will happen in due time. And in the meantime, He will sustain you in all seasons. And so we want to encourage you with these thoughts today that you're not a project, and to be patient with yourself on your journey in life, knowing that you're okay. Who you are is okay. Where you are is okay. And it's fine. It's totally fine. I'm going to let Veronica finish up with some final thoughts.
Thank you, Shade. Yes, so about the project part, about us not being a project, as I was hearing Shade speak, I was just thinking about how in actual projects that we do have in our life, how it could be so easy to think that we never finish with it. It's so easy to pick it apart. There's always something better we can do. There's always something we kind of regret it we can do. And as I was thinking of that, I kind of was thinking about my life and how I used to live my life as well. And I always, you know, I always felt like it was never enough. Like there was always more I could do. There was always more I could change. It just seemed like it was never ending. And, you know, that robbed a lot of my peace and my joy, and honestly, a lot of my confidence too. So when I decided to not look at myself as a project, I was able to see my good qualities that I already have and build on that. And it also helped me with my confidence as well, as I started to see myself for who I really was and who God said I was, instead of what I thought I should be or how I thought I should look or how I thought I should act, what I thought I should do for people. I was able to ask God and ask Him, you know, how He sees me, and I was able to embrace that and accept that, and that just broke a lot of performance in my life, a lot of doubt in my life, and me always thinking that I could always do more.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you next time on the Woman to Woman segment on Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne.
Our next segment of the night is Family Talk with Dawn Warner. Join web pastor, mentor, and speaker Dawn Warner of Dynamic Love Web Church as she encourages you in the truth, revealing God in the context of family dynamics and experiencing the family relationship of the Trinity by knowing them as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hashtag Family Talk to ask her your questions and join in the conversation.
Hey everyone, I'm excited to be joining you this week. So this week on my segment of Family Talk, as you've heard, we're talking about not being so hard on yourself and perfectionism and what that's all about. And this is such a topic that's so close to my heart because I didn't even realize that I was a perfectionist until later on in my life when I honestly became so hard to live with my own self. And it's a very subconscious thing that was in there. And before I really get into it, I always just want to thank Sade. Just she's been such a great encouragement to me these past few weeks. I was really struggling with illness, and I still kind of am. And I just want to say thank you, Sade, for just being an amazing encourager and friend and always reaching out to me and praying for me. And I'm just so grateful for who you are. So thank you again. So, okay, let's just get into the segment of Family Talk. And it's just an honor to be on your show. I just want to say thank you. Just so in my heart to say thank you so much. So the reason that this topic is so important to talk about, because I think a lot of us have performance ingrained into us, and I know I did. And I really believe that I was sitting with the Trinity and talking, because my segment is called Family Talk, because I approach God from the family dynamic, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you know, Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus, that beautiful Trinity, three in one, but they're yet very distinct, but they all have the same beautiful characteristics of love and grace and mercy and kindness and goodness. And so everything is approached for me and filtered through a healthy family dynamic of the Trinity. And so I feel that a lot of us have a lot of performance based into us because that's the world's way of thinking. That is always, I mean, just think about from when growing up with school, it's always about your grades. It's always, think about all the shows on TV, you know, we're all being critiqued on something. And so there's a very conscious message sent to us that you've got to do to be, that you've got to do, and you've got to do better than anyone else, and that you have to achieve and be and do. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with achieving things, or I'm not saying there's anything wrong with setting goals for yourself, but I'm saying this is the thing that I believe is very detrimental for us all. It's to have your value linked to accomplishing things, to have your value linked to how you're performing. And so that's why I believe that perfectionism is crippling. It's just crippling. And so, you know, God has really walked me through a lot of things because the what God, you know, He's a good God. He's kind and loving and caring. And what He has never done is confused mankind. He's never confused the goodness of who you are with what you do or what you can do or what you've done. Not with any. He's never confused who we are with our performance. He's never confused who we are with what we do. And so it's, once He starts really persuading your heart of this truth, that who you are is innately good and valuable and loved and amazing, and it's completely separate from anything that you could ever do, for any, like anything negatively that you could ever do, and anything positively than you, that you've ever can do. And when He starts separating that in your heart, and he starts persuading your heart of the goodness of you, the beauty of you, the perfection of who you are. I just can't say this enough, that who you are has nothing to do with what you do, what you've done, or what you ever can do. And it's not linked to your value. But I know growing up, you know, I love my parents. I had two parents growing up, you know, just normal, I would say just what looks like your normal middle class household with both parents being raised. But my value was so linked with my performance. It started with grades. You know, we were always programmed to get the best. And we all want to do well. I'm not saying that anybody, please hear me here. I'm not saying to just give up on your life or whatever. But what I'm saying is that what happens is when your value is linked to your performance, and perfectionism breeds just such a high thing, that actually what it did for me is if I can't do anything right, then I won't do it at all. And it just made me feel like a failure, that I used to come home, you know, with my report card of all A's and one B. And my mom was raised by a very critical father, you know, abusive alcoholic father. And so nothing that her brothers or sisters could do was good enough or right enough or ever enough. And so when you're raised like that, you'll just live out of that unless some divine intervention can come in, you know, unless some understanding can come in, you know, we'll all function out of that programming that we were brought up with. And so when I brought home all the A's and one B, it was seen as it went right to the B. Well, what happened here? What's wrong with here? And so when I was doing well and accomplishing well, I was seen as more acceptable by my family. I was seen as, oh, you know, they were prouder. But when I was not doing as well, then it was linked to, oh, that's disappointing. So you could see how my value was so linked to how I was functioning in life, you know, as a student, as a daughter. And so, and even, I've got to say this, my value, I was programmed, was linked to my weight. And it was seen better when I was less weight. I was more acceptable. I was more beautiful. I was more, my parents were more happy. Then when I gained weight, I all of a sudden was less acceptable. I seemed less lovable is what it was. And so once we can see that God can get into our hearts in his grace, which is his divine influence upon our hearts, persuading us of all he believes about us and what we've always been to him, then once he starts really getting into our hearts and persuading our hearts of the truth that we've always been good, that man has always been good, and it's never been based on what you can do, that you can really start seeing yourself as beautiful and lovable and acceptable to God because you've always been. And once he starts persuading you of that truth, I feel so emotional about this. Once he starts persuading you of that truth, that your value is not linked to your performance, it really frees you up to attempt certain things, to try certain things, and that you know it's okay if you're not good at it right away. And I really am thinking of the example of Sade in her dancing. You know, she started, and she has a great series called, you know, Baby Steps. And she just started a little at a time. But if her value was hung up in having it perfect the first time she set out and did a dance class, she would have been crippled by what would have been considered a failure, and she would have given up right away. But because God has convinced Sade of her innate value of who she is good and valuable and amazing, and just as she is, she never has to perform for God, and then that'll carry over into all your life choices, that her value wasn't wrapped up in whether she could do the dance routine perfect in the first session of her dance class. And this carries over to every area of our life, to relationships, to attempting things that we love, to attempting things that might be challenging for us, that our value has never been in our performance, in can we do everything right, in can we do everything good the first time, because perfectionism is quite crippling. And I even felt to look up perfectionism, just Googled it, and it was really shocking what came up, and there was a lot of truth here. It says, perfectionism from a psychology standpoint says perfectionism is a personality trait characterized by a person striving for flawlessness and setting high performance standards accompanied by critical self-evaluations and concerns regarding others' evaluations. And I thought that is so true. When I have a set of standards that I think I need to attain to be perfect, and let's think about it. Why do you want your performance to be perfect? Because you want to be perfect. Why do you want your performance to be flawless? Because you want to be flawless. The innate, and what sets you free from perfectionism is knowing that you already are flawless, that you stand before God because of Jesus Christ, innocent and without blame and completely flawless because of who you are and what God has done in Jesus. And what God has done is he has divorced us from anything that we could do. He has divorced us from sin and death is really what he's divorced us from in Jesus Christ. And he's divorced that trying to have a good report of your life by what you do. He has divorced that in the person of Jesus Christ. And he's come to give us his quality of life, his love and joy and peace and goodness and kindness, and produce that in us effortlessly. And he has shown us that he's always loved us. He's always thought well of us. He's always had a good opinion of us. That God so loved the world because of who you are. Every single person is the value of Jesus Christ. It's the value of God. That's how valuable you are. And it can never be based on what you could do or ever could do. He always just wanted to have a relationship with you. So when you start seeing that you already are flawless, you won't have to attain to some kind of standard to be. The biggest lie I ever believed is I have to do to become. I have to do to be. And what God has said, who you are, my perfect son and daughter, is good. I'm already well pleased in you. And when he starts persuading your heart of that, those expectations that maybe our parents or our friends or society has put on us, they start breaking away, and we can start loving ourselves for who we really are and who God made us, that beautiful uniqueness of the beauty of you. And you can start embracing things about yourself. And I can see where I have strengths. I can see where I have weaknesses, and they don't define me, because my value is not wrapped up in how well I perform a certain task or how well I organize paperwork in my room or how well I do the laundry or how quick I am to clean up the house. That none of that, anything I could do, is tied into who I am. And so when you start seeing that definition of perfectionism, that it's always striving for flawlessness, just think, if there's a set of standards that you're trying to attain to, when you look, what happens is that perfectionism and that striving, it starts breeding a very detrimental thing of comparison. Because as well as maybe you do something, I bet someone's going to do it better, you know, because there's billions of people on this planet and we all have different gifts and strengths. And so that starts making you feel bad. And then if your value is tied to what you do, you're not only going to start disliking yourself, you're going to dislike someone else. And so the only thing that's ever been able to set me free is God, is Jesus Christ, is our Father, and it's him persuading my heart that who I am is good, that who I am has always been good, and it's never based on what I do, and that I already am innocent and beautiful and blameless, and my performance isn't tied to my value, that nothing I do can make me more acceptable to God. You know, I'll just take it. It was so funny. The other day I had a lot of dishes to do. And my mom is a perfectionism, where as soon as you're done eating, you're going to hurry up and do the dishes, and you're going to clean the table and do it all. And, you know, since I live alone, I can just I put dishes in the sink, I leave dishes on the counter, and I wait till the next day. And just lately, I've had the desire just to have things a bit more tidy, effortlessly it's been. But it's not based on me. But I remember I got halfway through the dishes, and I don't have a dishwasher, so all the clean ones were stacked up, and there was no more room, unless I hurried up and dried the dishes, you know, to place the new clean dishes. So I thought, you know what? I'm halfway through. I'm good. And I thought, how freeing is that? That I didn't even care that not all the dishes were clean. And so I remember I just wrapped it up for the night, went to bed, and I finished the rest of the, you know, it was a couple like pots that you cooked in. And I thought, how freeing is that? Where there was a time that would have had a terrible voice to me that you're not good enough, that you're dirty, that what are you doing? Come on, that's someone who's a failure, doesn't eat, that stops and, you know, cleaning the dishes halfway through. So I'm just using that as an example. And I know Sade has a lot of series about this, about baby steps. Because anytime we're attempting something new for us or we have a desire to do any kind of new thing, we're not going to be good at things right away like that, especially like dancing or even, you know, my niece is just starting college and it was very overwhelming for her. And she was totally taken back because it's a whole new different atmosphere. And I just encouraged her that who she is good and no amount of a good grade can add anything to her value. And so I feel like, and I know in my life, that knowing who you are, your identity in Christ, that who you are is good and valuable and amazing, sets you free from perfectionism, from striving, from performance, and enables you to love yourself, enables you to love who God made you. And once you start loving who God made you and you really see that there's nothing that you can do or not do that makes you more valuable or less valuable, you start embracing who you really are and you can start embracing others for who they really are. And it's a beautiful way to live in freedom. So thank you, Jesus, for that. So thank you, Sade, for this awesome show. And I just want everyone to know it's a process. All of this doesn't happen overnight. All things in our lives are processes, and God persuading you of truth is a beautiful relationship thing. He works relationshiply by persuading your heart, Him sharing His life with you, and you sharing your life with Him. And it's a beautiful, lavish love relationship in the family of the Trinity that you are in because you are made in His image, in His likeness, and who you are is good. So I just want to say thank you, Sade, for this awesome show. Thank you, Sade, for who you are. And I want to say who you are to everyone listening. Who you are is good. Who you are is valuable. There's no comparison to the beauty of you, the uniqueness of you. There only you could show a face to a side of God that I wouldn't know unless I saw you. And that's an amazing way to live once you know your beauty and value, that who you are is innately good and nothing you do can add or take away to the value of you. So thank you, Sade. Again, my name is Dawn Warner. If you'd like to contact me, I'm on Facebook at Dawn M. Warner, and you can email me at dawnwarner19@gmail.com. And I'd love to pray with you. I would love to share. You can find me on YouTube at Dawn Warner. I have a lot of short, encouraging messages. And so thanks so much. I love the show. Thank you, Sade, for having me.
Our next segment of the night is Words of Life. This is where I speak words of affirmation over you, your dreams, your loved ones, and your life. We will be featuring this segment with new words of affirmation every single episode because with all the cynicism and pessimism that tries to drown us, we can afford to hear the truth as often as possible. I believe in the power of words because I have seen negativity, criticism, and discouragement tear people down. I have seen encouragement lift people's spirits and alter the very course of their destinies. What we hear and listen to are what will be birthed in our hearts, and it will definitely affect what we believe, think, and feel. Play this as many times as you need to and allow yourself to just soak in not only this segment, but the entire episode. You are the best investment you will ever make.
Today is going to be an amazing day. God has wonderful things in store for me. I can relax, breathe, and rest in God's goodness today. I know that everything is working out for my good and in my favor. I am powerful. I am strong. I am able to finish whatever I set out to complete each day. Even if I fail at something, I really still won because I gave my all and because I am forever loved, cherished, and adored by God. My identity remains the same. How God feels about me remains the same. I do not live from other people's opinions about me. I live from God's opinions about me. I live from God's rest and from God's grace and kindness. each day, I am able to share the love that I feel within my heart to everyone who crosses my path. I do not live my life from karma. I live my life from grace. I do not treat people the way that they treat me. I treat others the way that God treats me. I am a powerful person. I do not allow other people's negative opinions to manifest in my life and define and determine who I am. Instead, the love, grace, hope, compassion, victory, effervescence, everything that I am is what lights up a room. I am an atmosphere changer. I am a joy giver. I am a peacemaker. I understand that peace and compassion are power positions. I speak blessings over others, and I encourage people wherever I go. Instead of looking for ways to criticize, I am always able to find the gold and treasure within every person. I never allow situations or people to make me lose my cool or to take away who I am, but instead I know that God defines and determines who I am. I don't have to fit in a box or be whom anyone in the world wants me to be. I can be exactly who God has created me to be in my heart. And it's okay if I don't have a blueprint. God and I are figuring everything out together as we go. God has already made me victorious. I don't compare myself and my life to others. I create my own lane, and I help other people to create their own lanes too. I am a creator of opportunities. I always see solutions. I always see a way out, no matter the situation. I know that God has my back, and I am going to be more than okay. I am a conqueror. I am victorious. I am one of a kind. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight to episode 27 of my brand new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, right here on Grindhard Radio. Thank you to my music producers, The Quakes, for helping me to create and produce our theme song and for singing background vocals. The music from my radio drop is actually by one of my favorite artists in the entire world, India Arie, and I took the instrumental from her song, He Heals Me. Thank you to my castmates, Veronica Escobar-Winters and Dawn Warner. Thanks to my special guest, Megan Stewart. Thanks to Grindhard Radio for the opportunity to create my own radio shows. Our final song of the night is The Young Escape with Good Life. Next week is our How to Grow Your Faith episode. Only two more episodes until our season two finale. People are always talking about big faith and how to see miracles manifested in your life. This is something I get asked about all the time. Faith is not something you do. Faith is something that happens to you and is supposed to energize you. God is not withholding anything from you. Faith is a part of our original design and DNA. We'll have a new story time segment, a new Mythbusters segment, and a new Who Said That segment. I'll be sharing more words of life, taking your prayer requests, and another celebration break. Plus, we'll be giving away more prizes and gifts. Thanks for listening to the Season 2, Episode 27 of my new show, Spirit and Soul with Sade Champagne, and I'll see you next Monday, February 5th at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Grindhard Radio.
How did I ever get this far? After all I've been through, still you hold my heart. How did you pull me through the dark? If it weren't for you, the healing couldn't start. Never knew I could find peace until you found me. Showed me who I could be. And now I know that this is the good life. Never look back when it trades for a day.
that bitch.